May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face, mine's an urgent pressing case. 376.
Thank you. From the holy word of God, let us read in the book of Psalms. Read Psalm 30 and Psalm 102. Two Psalms, Psalm 30 and Psalm 102. Firstly, Psalm 30. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord. Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall not be moved. Lord, by thy favour thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee for ever. Psalm 102. Psalm 102. A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and putteth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure for ever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her. Yea, the set time is come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. My years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servant shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Let us pray. Almighty and blessed God, in whom we live and move and have our very being, in thy rich and tender mercy, draw near to us poor sinners as we meet around thy word. We can only come as we are. Nothing here is hid from thy eyes. Oh, we do pray that we may be favoured with some dropping down of the heavens into our soul. We come along and we seek thee and we desire and we pray and we hope to find something for our souls, a portion from God. Oh, we do pray indeed that thou remember us in our low estate. We come as sinners, real sinners, dreadful sinners, needy sinners. Yes, Lord, and time with us is so short. Oh, how true it is that the moment when our lives begin, we all begin to die. Lord, how true it is, and we have to confess, we're slow to lay that to heart. Oh, let to ourselves, Lord, we go on as though we're going to go on forever, but no. there's an appointed time for us here below. And how we do seek thee, Lord, that indeed thou stir us up to an exercise to win Christ and to be found in thee. O Lord, truly make us ready for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that thou place that kingdom in our own souls, in our hearts. Let us say the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, may it be in me. May it be in us each, we pray. Lord, we pray now as we meet around thy word. Oh, to make it a living word. Word of the Lord to us. Real word of grace. Salvation. Lord, that it may do us good, that we may indeed truly obtain and be favoured to know a feast of fat things, of fat things, wines on the lees well refined. We do beseech thee that we might know a little of the oil and the wine of the gospel tonight, have a sip, for our souls we're so dried up at times. We really are. What can we do? Confess we are but flesh. Frail, dying flesh and blood. Oh, weak mortals. Creatures of a die. Our breath is in our nostrils. And when thou dost indeed signal that the last breath should be drawn, oh Lord, our soul shall return to God who gave it. We do need such a great preparation for that day. We really do our dying day. Oh, what gloom must hang over those who know thee not. Though they may not realise what's right in front of them. Oh, the bottomless pit. Make us wise in this matter to seek thee and call upon thee, Lord. Oh, we pray that we may truly seek to be well prepared. Oh, then, oh my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in thy precious blood. Take my sins away. There's so many, Lord. To us, Lord, our sins are innumerable. Yet we hope indeed they're known to God and numbered by God. And we beg, Lord, we may be favoured to know they're all laid upon thee. All the horrid, unmentionable things. All the most wicked, evil thoughts, Lord. Everything. Every secret sin, things done in secret from men, oh, how solemn it is. What dreadful people we are by nature. Oh, but we do pray, may be favoured to know that all our sins, which are so many, are forgiven us. And I will indeed have a little glimpse while we live in this world. Oh, they're called blessings rich and rare. If one, oh, in garments dyed in blood, hanging on that accursed tree, was made a curse for us. We might be free, free. But all grace, Lord. And we beg, with nothing in our hand, to show us this free salvation. Hear the groaning of the prisoners before thee now, cries of the humble poor, those who need a portion for their soul. Those who know what fresh guilt is. Those that are weary of self and sin, long for a blessing from the Lord. Oh, that it saith, the Son shall make you free. He shall be free indeed. Oh, make us free. Oh, and a little of that sweet freeness given to us by faith here below. And enter at last into the eternal freedom of the presence of the Lord. Oh, we do pray, bless sinners then in this place. Oh, thy kingdom come, touch many hearts. May the careless and the unconcerned be wrought upon, Lord. May one another be quickened into spiritual life. Oh, Lord, there may be that awakening, that conviction, that divine reproof. Or to one another maybe careless and who know thee not. Where there's a cry for help and a cry for mercy, attend to their cry, their prayers, and show thy lovely face to them. A little smile in their soul for a few moments. We humbly pray. Oh, we do need that faith to be increased as we journey. Many are the afflictions, many are the trials. We have tribulation in this world, we try to avoid it. Wish we didn't, Lord. I do confess to thee personally, I just want to get on and enjoy life. But no, not allow us to do so. Yet we marvel at thy gentle, merciful, gracious dealings with us. Rebels base and vile. Always kicking. Who's ready to cast off God. Something inside us is perverse to God and godliness. But ah, we cry for life, for blessing, for forgiveness. And marvel at thy tender mercy. Has given us those little tokens over the years, and we're still not without hope, and we cannot cast away our confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For those who say, you've need us patience, after you've done the will of God, and receive the promise. Oh, bless sinners here, we pray, even among us tonight. And as the case of one and another, oh Lord, the different types of soul sickness and all the trials in life, the impatience of our spirit under trials, all those sinkings that thy people so know. Oh, how often we look down instead of looking up. We look at the cloud as it gathers, and we tremble and wonder which way we can turn. Oh, for grace in wisdom to turn immediately to Christ. Oh, when we were a child, we didn't understand it. Thought it must have been wrong about God's people. But we know it's true now. Few, if any, come to Jesus to reduce to self-despair. It's like that in the first place. And sadly, and we're ashamed of ourselves. We're still like it now, left to ourselves, Lord. Oh, for more wisdom, more light, more life, more resurrection power. Oh, life in our soul, we pray for it, that we may, when the thunder begins to rumble in the distance, turn our faces to thee. Not look at the dimension of the approaching storm, but rather look up to the Blessed One and shelter. Shelter for security in time, but shelter, Lord, for security forever and ever and ever. Ah, be thou our eternal security. We humbly pray. Oh, bless us here tonight. Bless this people. Grant them thy spirit, Lord. Dwell among them. Minister to them. Yes, Lord, bless the office bearers. Give them wisdom and grace and godly fear. Bless the church members and guide them in all their matters, we pray. Keep them together in unity of spirit, in godly fear. Praying one for another, seeking one another's welfare. Oh, may each one know where they are in the church the least. And, oh Lord, may they each indeed in honour prefer one another. So keep them together, we pray. Remember friends away, seeking rest and change, or friends detained, and there for a good many and variety of reasons, lawful reasons, and they were to meet. Friends that could have come and have lost the desire or no desire. Ah, give them such a need in their soul that nothing can keep them away. We pray. Bless the generations, the young men and young women, the children, the ones in arms that are brought here. Oh, may they be thine. What a world they're born into, Lord. Protect them. Oh, Lord. Draw them to thyself, we pray, as they grow up into this world. Save them, Lord. Oh, by thy grace from this bewitching world. Lord, things wax worse and worse. But Lord Jesus, thy grace is all sufficient to save our dear young friends, to give them that godly fear, Give them that sense of their great need of thy blessing, their great need of redemption through blood, their great need of Jesus and the blessing of Jesus to rest upon them forever. Oh, do take them under the shadow of thy wings, we pray. We pray for our brethren here, we pray for the dear brethren and flock at home, help thy dear servant ministering there tonight. Command the blessing there among us and among the hills of Zion, the churches, down the land and throughout the world. All thy dear people, nations, kindreds, tribes and tongues, we pray for them who fear thy name, tremble at thy word. Some under serious persecution, some being tortured maybe, languishing in prison or awaiting death in a special way. Oh, to value our liberties, Lord. Oh, how awful people we are. When we're so favoured, we lose sight and sense of the favour of God. What a favour to meet in liberty. Even in this land, it wasn't so always. Oh, Lord, to value these things and to be in thy house when we can, every time the doors are open, to have an eager desire, a spiritual longing, that thou would meet with us to bless us. Do we hear prayer then for our land and nation, another prime minister to be appointed, Lord, tomorrow. We may be given wisdom and grace and godly fear. Ah, Lord, pray for our land in the present crisis. We pray to bring us safely through to thy own purpose toward this land. Oh, we do pray that things may be done properly in order and the fear of God. Oh, we remember in our childhood there were some truly God-fearing MPs. Seem to be so few now. From one or two, perhaps the Irish, we don't know of anyone really. Ah, Lord, what a change in our land. But nevertheless, give our rulers and the new Prime Minister wisdom, understanding. Give them, Lord, that true integrity to always do the thing that is right. And we would pray this. Do give some of our rulers the fear of the Lord. That's what they need, really. What a benefit be to our nation. It looks impossible. But may we pray because of thy goodwill, as we're told to pray for those in authority. We may lead quiet and peaceable lives that give that wisdom, understanding, Lord, to our rulers. So hear prayer then for our land and nation. We thank for the beautiful weather, pray for older folks or afflicted folks in the heat wave. May they be helped in the extraordinary heat, as it were, and yet we see the fields ripening for harvest. Lord, as we looked upon them this afternoon and a week ago, some of the stalks seem still quite green, and how quickly things can change. Oh, how they seem almost now ready for harvest, and oh, Lord, my harvest, our own harvest. Oh, to be ripe. Oh, not to still be green. Oh, Lord, may our heads go over, ready to be reaped, Lord. We humbly pray. 'Tis vital, 'tis important. And we're slow to grow in grace. Oh, we're like Lot. He lingered. We're just like him, Lord, godly man that he was. Can't cast stones. Oh, we so linger in the race, supposed to be ashamed of. Yet, Lord, how sweet it is when we know that divine energy, exercising our soul. Oh, how we, as it were, enlivened and animated. And we call upon God and begin to run in that race. Ah, oh, those ups and downs. But, Lord, we're poor things, ever will be. Can't get above being a poor, needy sinner. We hope we would one day, in early days, get a little above it, as it were, being such a poor, needy sinner. We're still there, Lord. But thou art still there, a loving, wonderful, merciful, gracious Saviour, Lord. Oh, may we delight in thee, honour thee, reverence thee, live upon thee. Live upon thee in our griefs, Lord. Live upon thee in our woes. Live upon thee while we've a sinnership. Oh, help us indeed by a precious faith. Oh, to plead thy precious blood, which did once for sin atone, and live upon thee the bread sent down from heaven, and draw with joy from the wells of salvation, Lord, that living water. Ah, Lord, want living water tonight. So pardon our many mighty sins, give us thankful for every tender mercy and blessing we receive daily. Our cup runs over. Oh, it's good sometimes to just stop for a moment and think and stand back and ponder where we are. Oh, how good and gracious the Lord is. But how our life can change in a moment. Weak and vulnerable and helpless when trials come. Ah, may we humble ourselves before thee, Lord, and seek thee for the riches of thy grace. And we desire to be in thy hands, thy wise and gracious hands. So bless us now, loose this poor stammerer's tongue. Grant thus saith the Lord, and bless the people, and pardon our many and our mighty sins, as we plead thy rich blessing for Jesus. And we also remember thy dear seventh and neighbouring pastor at Fenstand, and friend Brian. Grant those healing and those restoring mercy to him. As we've heard this day, he's in hospital. But again, do grant those healing mercies. And all in affliction, all in trouble, all in sorrow, we remember them each at the throne of grace, knowing that ourselves must pass that way one day, to come right down to death. Oh, to pass safely through that last enemy. Ah, we believe it's been destroyed by Jesus. So let us seek to abide under thy shadow. But may be destroyed in the experience of our own soul when we come there, Lord. So we plead thy precious, gross, all-prevailing name. We plead thy help and blessing tonight. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 978. How blessed are they who truly see their emptiness and poverty, whose souls are humbled in the dust, and who in Jesus only trust. 978.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 30 and to verse 5. It's particularly the second part of the verse upon my mind. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The whole verse reads, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Psalm 30, verse 5. In the heading of the psalm, which is part of the canon of Scripture, that's why I read it, we read it as a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I suppose you'd naturally think it would have been full of, indeed, David's success and David's blessings. But my friends, every child of God and good and great King David knew a mixed cup in the Lord's dealings with him. And he knew, my dear friends, something of the plague of his own heart. He knew the judgments of God, the anger of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. Deliverance after deliverance, blessing after blessing, mixed with trials and sorrows, not only of life, but the sorrows of pilgrimage. Jesus said, "Yea, they would have continued with me in my temptations." Jesus had temptations. It meant he had trials. Had no sin in those temptations. Didn't give way. No doubt crossed his spirit, like it does mine and yours. Ah, my friends, he had a fixed heart, didn't he? Trusting in his Father, trusting in God. We know that in measure, not fully and completely. We're not yet possessed the land, have we? We must fight for it. Yes, and not in a carnal way. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty toward God. By faith we wrestle on to the break of day. Well, David knew that pathway. And so in this verse 5, which the latter part was really came to my mind to make remarks from, "For his anger endureth but for a moment." How true that is with the elect, you know. You think of those solemn times when you feel the Lord's hands went out against you. His anger, especially under the perhaps earlier days, under the law. And holy God, his pure eyes look upon you in all your thraldom and wretchedness and helplessness. Under the law, the curse of God. Angry God appears then, and he's angry with the wicked every day. Sin provokes him to anger. He's poured that anger upon his dear son. What your sins deserve, believer. What my sins deserve. And what do they deserve? Tender conscience answer. The lowest hell. But oh, my friends. He so loved what he gave to the begotten son. Yea, my friends. His beloved son poured out his soul unto death. And was laid our iniquity upon his son, his dear son. He has laid the iniquity of all upon him, margin made to meet upon him. What a solemn consideration. The load was laid upon Christ when only mine so great. Can you bear the weight of your sinnership, get a sense of it, get a little sight of it? What a dimension, friends. Your thoughts of today, What's crossed your mind today? If all the chapel folks knew it, what could you do? You couldn't come here tonight, could you? You couldn't face them, could you? Yet the solemn thought is, we're all in the same place. We need Christ. And receive the terrible vengeance of God. As he cried out, "My God, my God, my God, whom I love, whom I serve in fullness of perfection and beauty of holiness." Oh, my friends, how he delighted to his Father's will. And what was that to me made sin for you and I? Not a sinner, but the sin-bearing victim. For my friends, the sin to be imputed, and he to stand there and hang there, receiving anger for sin. God's righteous anger. Ponder it well. That's why I said, you see, concerning the elect, his anger endureth but a moment. You see, my friends, but a moment in his corrections, humblings, chastenings, cutting us back, shutting up our way for a season, hiding his lovely face. It's all but teaching, and it is all but a necessary experience that we should be brought down to his feet, his dear feet. We may sing, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply thy cross I cling," but do we? Oh, how we seem to be so unwilling at times to relinquish all our strength and wisdom and purpose, and sink into his wise, gracious hand. Abraham judged God faithful. Well, you see, his anger endureth but for a moment to the dear people of God. But for a moment, a short while, or only for a season. The ungodly, the impenitent, my friends, that's forever and forever and forever. Yes, can you say this honestly? Can I bear the piercing thought? Is it a piercing thought to you sometimes? What if my name should be left out? But now for them shalt call. It is a piercing thought at times, isn't it, friends? But no, his anger endureth but for a moment. He's angry, you see, with his dear people, and many times, oh, how indeed, he hid his face from David. We read that David was afraid of the Lord that day, concerning the ark on the ox cart. Oh, God made a breach and a judgment. He sensed God's anger. He was doing things wrong. And so in the dear people of God today, we brought face to face with mistakes and a bad spirit we manifest at times, and oh, the evil thoughts we have, and so quickly we can get involved in altercation and strife, pride of our heart, unbelief, secret worldliness, inward sins you hope will never be revealed to others, you see, thoughts you may have, oh, wishful thinkings you may have. Oh, I mustn't say too much, it's too solemn. All seen by God. And he's angry with wicked every day, and he's angry with wicked thoughts, but he loves a certain people. Think of the awful behaviour of Saul of Tarsus. He wanted to murder the people of God because he hated Christ. My friends, if he had been at Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion, he certainly would have cried out, "Away with him, away with me," that nature, you see. He wasn't there at that time. But later, he sought to destroy all followers of that name, of that person, the love of God. Oh, the love of God to sinners. Think of the prophetic life of the dying thief. And yet we see and tremble at the sovereign hand of God. One taken, one left. One called by grace. One died in unbelief. And think of the enmity they both manifest. They both railed on Christ. They both cast the same in his teeth. We could go on tracing out the sins of God's people. Not particularly profitable, is it? Best to think of ourselves instead. Our sins, our wandering mind, our selfishness. So many evils dwelling within you. And it is daily, isn't it? It's not just yesterday or a year ago. It's every day. You wake up with a sinnership. You live with a sin. You go to bed with a sinnership. There it is. Its thoughts, its workings. Ah, but grace, free, sovereign, matchless grace that's given your soul a hiding place, my friend, implants into you godly fear and exercise and desires to win Christ, to win Christ. Therefore you will know, indeed, that that anger enduring in his corrections and chastenings and cuttings back, in his destructions, he may destroy our projects. He destroyed Jehoshaphat's ships, didn't he? Oh, my friends, we know those times when we feel the Lord's displeasure. But oh, how he says here, but in his favour is life, life. Well, his favour, my friend, is an everlasting favour. And I want to come to the second part of the verse, really. But you see, just connect with the first, you see. His anger endureth but for a night, a moment. His favour is life. Now, he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So this tells us that with regard to the people of God, there's going to be a change. A change. There will be the weeping in this world and this world only. In the world to come, in the presence of God, there's no weeping. There's fullness of joy. Everlasting felicity. Oh, in everlasting strength, singing the everlasting song in the presence of God. They draw all from Emmanuel. They're with their husband. Their real, solid, eternal friend. But it speaks of weeping, weeping. Well, we read in Isaiah 30, thou shalt weep no more. And he says there that he will hear the voice of our cry when he shall hear it, the voice of our weeping. And we read, of course, in Revelation 7, that God shall wipe away tears from off all faces. So the weeping is in this world. A weeping while we have a sinnership. A weeping belongs to pilgrimage as well as rejoicings and thanksgivings and praises and true spiritual worship and communion with God. But weepings, weepings. If there's no weepings in your religion, you will not know joy in the morning. Mark it. I speak solemnly and soberly, yet purposefully. Dear friend, if there's no weepings in your profession, in your religion, there will be no morning. Oh, no glorious day. No eternal Sabbath. But, oh, dear godly friend, seeking soul, there are weepings, are there not with you? So look at these weepings then, the Lord helping us. weeping may endure for a night. I do like the terminology. See, it's of short duration, isn't it? The night season passes. It may endure for a night. For a season is the real sense, isn't it? But of course, you see, there are days and nights in the created world, and we see them and live through them. So in the soul's experience, there are days and there are nights. There are weepings and there are rejoicings. Let us come to the weepings then, which particularly emphasized in this verse. Weeping. There's a holy weeping, you know, in the earth over our sins. And after a precious Christ, a precious Christ. That's a really beautiful weeping over your ugly sinnership. Here's one of the beauties of faith, beauties of holiness, a penitent sinner. A sinner that is sorry for what he is, what she is. Oh, we're sorry for what we are. We see, indeed, woe is with us for all that we are by nature. It's the natural bent of the will and of the mind. It's sinnership. It's the nature. Oh, where grace reigns, you see, it brings about a weeping. Now, it's personal before God. I know with regard to our natural emotions, some are more emotional than others. And naturally, I could break down quite easily sometimes. I have to control myself in public. That's just my weakness, you see, in nature. And no doubt many folks are like it. Some can compose themselves more strongly than others. But that will really, that's natural. Your soul will weep over your sins when Christ is precious to you. You see, I'm speaking of gospel repentance, not legal repentance, not repentance under the law, which has an element of legality about it. You try and do better under the law, and you weep because you can't, and you feel the curse upon you. You come to despair. Now, I know it's a weeping through God's work in your heart in convincing you, but here we have something I believe is a gospel weeping. When, my friends, you get such a sense and sight of what you really are, and a sense and sight of the love of Christ towards you, even out of what you are, your sins. Maybe one here who feels, Lord, I know it's true. I don't know if I've ever come to that. I'm such a sinner. Well, you see Christ. You weep before him. You're proving faithful, my friend. Ah, in blessing he will bless. It's covenant promise. The text you hear me often quote to me, you hear me at home as well, of course, many times. If we confess our sins, you know, we're at it day by day, aren't we? If we confess our sins. But you don't wear out the ears of the God of love, mercy and grace. Jesus is never weary of your honest confessions, never weary of hearing them. He sees more about your sinnership than you and I do. But no, what a mercy to weep out before God in self-loathing and self-hatred. Ah, weeping may endure for a night. And this speaks, doesn't it, my friends, of not just an early conviction, but it speaks of the fresh sense of what wayward people we are by nature. Prayerlessness. Carelessness, entanglements. Lawful things overtake, don't they? Lawful things, my friends, become the main exercise. We wish it wasn't so, but it is. How nice to be able to manage our faith, you see, that his strong faith enables to do this and that without any deviation into sin or anything, and it doesn't take over. But you can't keep alive your own soul. We're humbled, and a blessed humbling it is to know we're saved by grace alone, the grace of God to you. While you've got a heart like you have, while I've got a nature like I have, the exceeding abundant grace to think upon you from all eternity. Is your nature better than the people enslaved here tonight? Or in Cambridgeshire tonight? Are we one whit better in nature? No. It's grace. And you're not saved just because you go to chapel, though it's good to go and worship. It's man's duty to acknowledge God and to worship him as our Father. That's the right thing to do. But it's not saving because this is faith given to you to repent and to trust wholly to Christ. Ah, that's when it becomes true worship, doesn't it? And is your nature better than the people enslaved you tonight? Ah, my friends, we have to say, nay, Lord. In fact, dear child of God, you view yourself even in darker light in this way. They've never heard the gospel, perhaps, and you have. But after all these years, that same old sinnership troubles you. All the wonders of grace here. So you'll weep over your sins in your pilgrimage. You really will. And what a mercy you do weep over them. It's not weepings in despair, it's weepings in hope. You weep after him who you've offended. Oh, you so easily forget. Oh, you weep after him whose ways you kick against at times. Israel murmured in their tents. There's the tent of our heart too. There's frettings and murmurings that come at times. And we need saving, don't we? Yes, and we weep, my friends, and over our hardness of heart, do we not? And you think, my friends, of the hand of God in providence. Unless we're humble to weep and own we deserve these solemn trials, the best we can do is to kick against them. But some of you have had to bless God for the trials. I speak very carefully myself. I'm as weak as water under trial. But I know they're good. I'm frightened of the next one, but I know they're good. Oh, they're appointed. You see, afflictions and troubles and temptations are appointed for us. You see, the apostle owned this, that afflictions were to attend him. He got to return to Jerusalem. And Agabus told him that he would be bound by the girdle he took from the apostle's loins, as it were. And they'll bind him. It was a prophecy to him. And he knew that troubles and afflictions would attend him. But he's still pressed into the kingdom of God. My friends, I speak soberly and carefully. We've all got a trouble before us, an illness you can't prevent, a day of real sickness, a deathbed is coming to everyone. I speak very sober, I'm being dramatic here, God forbid, but it's true. And I have an issue, you have an issue, think little about it, left to ourselves. But you do think about it. You have to think about it. Often such a guilty, weak and helpless worm. Pains, a fresh illness, brings it to remembrance immediately. Ah, my friends. And then a wandering heart. Oh, how you feel unfit for God. And then you ask the question, how will it be in the swellings of Jordan, Lord, with a heart like mine? Brings on weeping, doesn't it? Weeping may endure for a night, but there is come to these holy weepings. Yes, I just touch upon it just now. When you weep, my friends, under a sweet sense of his love and mercy to you. When you look at your base and grateful heart, you really joy in the Lord, don't you? And what Nehemiah memory said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have a joy in the Lord that your sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. Oh, my dear friends, how we sometimes just get a sense of Christ at Calvary. A few times in my life, oh, there hanging on that accursed tree. And oh, you hope, indeed, your sins were there, and you hope with a good hope. You can't deny it if the Lord has ever smiled in your soul. Maybe those here and say, well, he hasn't smiled on my soul, but I long for him to do so. Well, you continue to weep before the Lord about yourself. Yea, the very worst of sinners who upon his grace rely shall ask be endless winners and shall sing beyond the sky. You're a happy weeper, a happy mourner, who mourns over your sins after precious Christ. Don't think you'll get beyond that stage in your pilgrimage here of not having to weep over your sins. It'll end in death. That's when your weepings will end. That's when the song begins. When your blood-washed spirit, redeemed soul, is severed from the body and returns to God who gave it, and you enter the joy of your Lord in your spirit and worship him around the throne, and the body lay in the grave, turning to the dust, waiting the glorious resurrection. When soul and body we join together at the coming of Christ. Oh, what a day that will be. But my friends, you see, there are these weepings in life as well. Now the Lord is so merciful, you see. He orders your way safely. And therefore he orders his way, the way of his people, is through a wilderness to go to a promised land. No, they didn't get to the promised land through green, verdant pastures and lovely rolling hills and beautiful woodlands and the beautiful countryside that we see in England, you see. It's nice, fresh and green. It's beautiful. I love it myself. Yes. I tell you why you don't go that way spiritually. You're settled down to enjoy life. That's just my nature and yours. So it has to be a wilderness to your soul. So he points this trial, that trial, another sorrow. He withholds certain favours you'd like. Or if he's going to give them, makes you beg for them. You may know they don't come just your request. They come in his love to you. So he brings you to beg for them, beg of him for them. So he gives them to you in love. Earthly blessings. Loving kindnesses, restorings, provisions for life. A godly husband or wife, in some cases. Helps at work. Oh, supplies your need. We could touch on many, many things. Heals you of your sicknesses. Answers prayer in this matter and that matter. This is loving kindness, isn't it? In a wilderness. But we always have to go a begging to our heavenly, benevolent, loving friend, so full of grace. And more full of grace than you and I have sinned. What a fullness in Christ, friend. You ponder it. The fullness in Christ for you. Providence and grace. All your steps in life's journey. And an appointed time when you will come to your dying moment. He's appointed your dying hour, appointed mine. Who believe it and seek the Lord. Call upon him for the grace, the rich grace, if you may endure for a night. And you see, there are these seasons of particular trial, and our friends know them and I know them. And how the whole of exiles was seemed to be mustered up in this great trial. We're perhaps engaged in many a multitude of things, and we have to be lawfully, you see. We pray our way along, and a trial comes, and your whole soul is taken up with a particular matter. For his mercy, for his help, for his blessing, for his deliverance. Ah, my dear friends, this is the sweet way of grace, and to bless you, to bless you. You godly friends who fear God, you can't deny, can you, how good, how gracious the Lord has been. How merciful, how wonderfully he has appeared. Oh, beyond all your expectation. And you know you don't deserve the least mercy. But it flows to you on account of his love and his grace, doesn't it? Yes. We may endure for a night. Well, it's the weeping time here, and of course there's the weeping as we consider coming down to our last illness. Now, the wisest thing we can do, and I often say this to the brethren at home, and I have to say it to congregations, and I need to say it so much to myself. May we each, like many prayers against that day, and entreat the Lord about the matter. Tell him when he appoints the aeronautical death for you. You can't face it without him. You must have underneath you his everlasting arms of love and mercy. He must be with you. Tell your heavenly friend how weak and frightened you are of dying alone. You must be prepared for harvest. The grains are ripening now fast, aren't they? Getting ready for harvest. Not that I'm expert at the batter, of course, but I mean, even from the M11, you see how, compared with a week ago and 2 weeks ago, things have come on quite quickly. No doubt the hot weather. But I'm not an expert to know when it's ready, but the farmer knows. And the Lord knows. The great shepherd of the sheep, the husbandman. He knows. He'll ripen. And that's what we need the Lord to do. Pardon a personal note here. You don't mind me just saying this. Going back to Christmas 1980, I suppose it was. No, 1979, I think. My paternal grandmother traced out the Lord's mercies one Christmas, one Boxing Day of the years, and she said to me, "Timothy, I've told you all some of the Lord's kind mercy and blessings," which he said this, "I'm having now to pray to be prepared for my day and dice. It's coming, it's getting so close. I'm really having to pray to make me ready for that last moment." And she was made ready. And a very blessed end. Very favoured. Not all are favoured like that. And I say just in passing, friends, may we light prayers against that day. And that will be the end of weeping. The nights have all gone. Oh, friends, the night of this world gives way to the eternal day. Joy cometh in the morning. Now, to come to this last clause, joy cometh in the morning, it says here, or the singing cometh in the morning, the margin. What does it mean? It means those victories and deliverances the Lord gives you while you're living here. That's included. That's included. And you look at those times when your heart has been filled with real gratitude to the Lord's goodness. And I speak encouragingly to you who may be under trial here tonight. You may feel perhaps so low and so distressed and wondering about how things will end with you in this trial or your sins, your sins. Well, you weep after Christ. You'll come into this full text one day in his perfect time and way. Joy will come. You'll know a morning of grace, a morning of blessing of the Lord. He'll bring you to that peculiar time of rejoicing and dancing before the Lord. When the voice of the trumpet heard in the land. Ah, my dear friends, when the time of the singing of the birds is come, just like a May morning. Oh, we used to live as a lad in the Gort Valley below us. Was over at the Southern Valley and down there and further north between us and the Downs was a lovely Holmesdale Valley there, full of meadows and coppices, and the bird's song was deafening on a May morning. It really was. I've never heard anything anywhere else like it. So beautiful. And it was so shrill because you couldn't identify hardly any birds because it was a continual chorus. Gradually it faded out by 8 o'clock, 8:30. My friend, you see, the joy of the birds in the morning. And there is a singing when you come to deliverances and blessings. But Israel journeyed. Oh, it was a desert. Oh, my friends, they needed bread, needed water. They murmured. Oh, that killed their joys, didn't it? And your murmurings bring further sorrow to you. when trials come. We're brought to go begging again, begging for mercy, begging for, and joy comes again, another deliverance. Thus wrought deliverances for Jacob. No, he says command deliverances for Jacob. And Jacob has deliverances commanded. He did in his life, and so do you, friend. Joy cometh in the morning. Answers to prayer. Now, what should we do in those times? Seek for more grace. We're in a dangerous situation when we're blessed as we are when we're in trial. In trial, we can sink in unbelief and kick and murmur. My friends, yes, we're still in dangers when prayers are heard. You say, still in dangers? Yes, you relax. You don't return thanks as you should. Were there not 10 leopards cleansed? Where are the 9? Only one has turned back to give thanks. He's a Samaritan. Shame on those Jews. We're just like them, my friends, left to ourselves. And I'm saying this not just to you, but to me as well. Oh, we read also in Israel, and they were not thankful. Are we really thankful enough for the former mercies and blessings? Are we really conscious that at God's right hand is such a prince, such a saviour, such a friend, ready and willing to pardon and send answers of peace? Such a merciful, loving God in heaven, raised up his dear Son to his right hand, more full of grace than I have sinned. Ah, my friends, we have those joys in the morning here, do we not? And may we truly value those seasons and seek grace in them, more grace, more grace. We may tell our friends about blessings and deliverance, not wrong, but how much more better to occupy and go on your knees in secret and praise the Lord and ask now, may this be really sanctified to me, this tender mercy. Lord, strengthen me to live more to thy glory, walk more humbly with my God. Oh, let me be least among thy people, but among them, Lord, to be nothing but a divine and tremendous favour. They should look down upon such a sinner, such a worm as yourself and myself. Joy cometh in the morning. So these seasons, you see, but oh, an eternal day. Yes, the apostle said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's such a glory to be revealed in these dear saints, these travellers, these pilgrims. They know little in measure. Here below, the glory of the Lord rises upon them, doesn't it? Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And the promise there, thy sun shall no more go down, nor thy moon withdraw itself. The Lord shall be with an everlasting light. Days of thy mourning shall be ended. Ah, friends, and the days of mourning will be ended. But I say, I repeat it again, we need such preparation for the days of our mourning to be ended. It won't be plain sailing to that day. It'll be knowing your weakness of body, weakness of mind. Think getting out of control. You can't sweep your path like you used to. You can't dig your garden. Can't write a letter anymore. Pains come. Can't eat, can't drink. Feeling so weak and so poorly, so drowsy. Oh, we do need the Lord to be with us, don't we? Oh, to be well prepared for that day and light prayers. But what a joy is about to break upon them. How solemn. Oh, what a contrast between death and heaven. My friends, it's so blessedly true. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessedly true. Oh, may my last end be like his. Even Balaam said it, didn't he? There was an ungodly man. Oh, that we might truly seek that we may be ready to enter into that joy of our Lord. Now, I can't really speak much about it, but a few things, yes, I believe are verily true about heaven, and you know they're true as well. So it's good sometimes to think upon these things, not in any fanciful way, but just think what it is like. No more sin. Won't that be part of heaven? No more sin. What a mess of a trial to you. Oh, your sins are a trial. Let conscience speak. No more sin in that place. What a place to come to. No more accusations of conscience. No frowns between your soul and a precious Jesus. No clouds. No tremblings at the approach of trouble. No weakness felt. No looking round for a refuge when you're in heaven. You're there. You're there, you're with Christ, which is far better. But no more sin. Not one wave of evil can cross those redeemed souls' spirits at all. They're really shut in. The door is shut. The devil and angels of the devil can't come in. Things defiled can't come in. Only blood-washed souls. And eventually, of course, at resurrection, bodies like unto his glorious body, sinless and perfect, the soul united to them. Not a wave of trouble. Oh, no gloominess. No devil there. No temptation. No weakness of mind or weakness of body. It's beyond our understanding. But I would emphasize, no more sin. No more wrong exercises. So that's a strange thing to say from the pulpit. Well, we sometimes have strong desires about certain things, and we pray about them. We may feel we've got an exercise about them. And it may be that, I must be very careful and tenderly, that perhaps the minister might quote a text that seems, oh, according to that, it seems to as it were, strengthen your thought that this must be an exercise from God. I speak very carefully and tenderly upon this point. We can have wrong exercises about things here below. It may just be something we'd like to have or like to do. But remember this, you've got to view it this way, and may I view it this way? Will Christ be honoured and glorified in it? And do we really pray according to his will? What his will really is? The dear saints, you know, in their weepings, and these do bring on weepings, are brought face to face sometimes to realise that though they may be exercised about certain things, they haven't been praying according to the Lord's will and mind in the matter. We should always pray according to the will of the Lord. Remember the teaching in what is called the Lord's Prayer, not that it's really the Lord's Prayer, it's prayer for us, but told us by the Lord how to pray, a pattern of prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There is a perfect will for you and for me in the kingdom of heaven. It's the will of God. In our askings and seekings, do remember, my friends, it's good to ask in accordance with his good will. If it's in his eternal mind and thought, we should do this or have this or something to take place in our life. And only if it's good for our soul. It's hard sometimes, child of God, to submit to God's will in things. But he hears your cries for help. If you feel there's something in you that you know you must have, seek the Lord. Is it thy will? Lord, if it's thy will, grant it. If it's not thy will, show me it's not, and may give me real godliness with contentment to live in the state that I am, according to thy loving kindness and tender mercy. And I speak as one who is so favoured, and no doubt we can all say the Lord is so favoured in so many different matters. But now in heaven there's nothing like wrong exercises, because they're not exercised to get to heaven. It's our exercise here below. Their whole frame, body and soul will be taken up with praise, adoration, filled with everlasting love, swimming in everlasting love. Yes, there's communion of saints here below. What a communion there must be in heaven. And what's the conversation? What's the song? Christ. What is all the gist of their conversation? What Christ has done, his loveliness, his glory. They serve him day and night, so freely. There's no night there, no weariness. Oh, no oppositions. They're free, and oh, they worship in the beauty of holiness. They're absolutely sinless, in righteous in his righteousness. Now, I can't say any more about these things because so much is hidden. The most important thing is, dear friends, I must get there. And so must you. And what can we do about it? Well, the scriptures show us a way, a blessed way, a way of faith, that you who can do nothing for yourself may be able to sweetly come and look to Jesus, done everything for these poor sinners. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ask. Ask salvation. Ask for grace. Ask me. Ask me to bless you, help you, be with you. Ask me to give you a real religion, to bring you safely through and safely home. Ah, may we plead his precious name in all our vast need. And such a day will come when you come to that place of no weeping, no sorrow, tears wiped from off all faces in that glorious place. Well, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, the Lord bring us to that eternal morning. Friends, it's midday in heaven, forever and forever and forever. And the midday sun shines so blessedly upon them. They see his face. They see the face of Jesus, his lovely, holy, shining person. And in seeing, they see God. And they worship God and can commune with God and speak with God and praise into his face. Ah, it's beyond my understanding and beyond yours. But, oh, friends, the Lord bring us there. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless thy own word of grace. In mercy bring us there. We plead thy name. Put all the scripture says of thee. We plead that thou be with us. Bring us safe through our lives. And safely home to God. Pardon all in this service. We plead then for journeying mercies now. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Willing, they'll be reading services next Lord's Day. Let's close with hymn number 93. Hark the voice of love and mercy, sounds aloud from Calvary. See, it rends the rocks asunder, shakes the earth and veils the sky. It is finished. Hear the dying Saviour cry. Number 93.
Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.